You're all set?
Yeah.
I make a motion to accept the minutes as they're presented to us.
Second.
All's in favor?
Aye.
Fingers don't want to work after being outside today, though.
Right.
Huh? Holy smokes. How they do?
Good job.
Okay. You can read it?
So far, so good.
Okay, buddy. Thank you, Chris. Moving on to the minutes.
The fuel you get from Com, it's from Com, right?
Yep.
That wasn't a yearly price, it's adjustable.
Right now it's like $1.70. It's $1.65 plus the 10 cents.
I didn't know sometimes people lock into prices for a year because they hope that's...
They ask us to lock in for a year, even if the price goes up or down. They don't want to be stuck with a high price amount there, but they are down pretty cheap right now. Yeah.
Counting down.
You're counting down?
No, we're all counting down. Only a few more Mondays, man. A few more nervous Mondays, and then we don't have any more nervous Mondays. Because the change in the... That change is coming.
Oh.
The change is coming.
Change is coming, yeah. All the warrants, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
You want to move right on to water quality?
Do it, Chris. Do it.
All right. In the month of December, we had a coliform hit. But it was in the raw water at station number 3. Hmm. And when it got to the treated water, it was not there anymore.
Nicely done.
So it didn't require any public notification at all. We did have to mention it in our CCR. That's all, as one of the samples.
Yeah.
We have had our chlorine byproduct testing reduced to once a year instead of four times a year. Yep, by DEP. Yeah. We do not have the MTBE. It's included with the VOCs, and it's not going to be done until next month. So instead of having an extra test, we're just going to go with it'll be done in the quarter still.
We've got a lot of Notre Dame's on there. We're doing pretty good there.
Yeah. That's what I have underwater quality for now. Boy, I don't even have to stop talking. I keep going.
No, you're good. You're on a roll.
All right. Do you want me to go with this? Do you want to do anything else?
Superintendent's report?
Yeah. I have a couple things that might...
We address afterwards?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so we'll move past superintendent report and head on to old business with the fellows Steve and Gary, and I see Russell over there.
Yeah, sure, you can spin that around and sit in your seat.
Spin around and sit in your seat right there and talk to us.
Oh, yeah, we're going to hand out some stuff.
Handouts. All right. Very good.
So myself, Steve Johnson, Will McCabe, Jared Karamoff. He is our outside play manager who manages all of the K-Fire releases everywhere on the network.
Awesome.
And we're going to call Brian Hopkins from Contract right now. Brian is the, I told you guys last time, if you see the original quote, Brian's going to work for us in the floor quote. So Brian and his team have been working with Gary to, they actually came down on January 5th and walked around all the well sites every day and walked through, come up with a plan to bring you guys in. That's a good thing. Thank you. All right. So we can kind of walk you through this. You know, what basically Brian and Frank have done is laid out each one of the wells, and kind of how they were kind of involved.
Great.
From our initial estimate, we had required to give you a little bit more fiber. So instead of, I think we talked about giving you, I think, 12 strands or something like that initially.
It ended up with it. They needed 28 fibers. So we're going to be running some new fibers.
Right.
That would be your absolute robust number to do the
That was my question is, you know, with future upgrades and equipment and stuff, is that 28 fibers going to handle us into the future?
I talk about this with Frank, and it's large. The bigger the six that you have. It was the allocated extra fibers.
It should be well positioned, you know, so we don't do this ever again. So kind of the way we thought we would kind of do this is leave these documents with you today, have you look at them, questions, any and all questions about why we do this, why we do that. We showed you the map, you guys know the facility, kind of needed, so that necessarily just thinking you need another map to look at. But certainly if there's questions, any questions we can answer. And I think that still leaves, even the increased cost of adding some more fibers and more fibers, still leaves you guys some room for putting in other stuff that you have. I talked to the commission, the commission, about you guys on the RAM, absolutely no problem. We'll connect you to the RAM, you'll have, as long as the commission continues to pay for it, who knows what's standard. I can't make any guarantee there. But they continue to pay for it, it'll be free. We may put in that trip and they don't pay for it for the RAM, but it'll be in the good position for you for the next three months.
I got a quick question on once we set up the cameras, and have our television screens or whatever that you want, monitors,
sure,
inside one of our buildings. I think that at some stage in time my head is that we're going to move these things to another building. And I want to know, is it something that's going to be, we're going to be able to move this, these monitors from the existing building to a new set of buildings behind the water department? I just don't know how easy it is to move it.
So this is the building built?
No, not yet.
Are you going to be on the same property as the...
Yep.
Well, it would be, you just have to build out your existing office.
Okay.
And just take it over.
Okay, we can move it over there, no problem.
Yeah.
That's fine, yeah.
You're saying you'd lay the conduit in advance of building the building and pull fibers and then have it there ready to go?
Yeah.
Either that or you could bring it back to one of the three handholds that you have in it. There.
Right.
And potentially take it off.
Yeah.
Splice another lateral off of an existing.
Right.
Fiber itself, and we'll leave Frank has figured in the slack room, so there's slack in the system. That's just a pile of fibers. So for future expansion, if you need to move something, you don't have to cut the fibers. There's that slack there. You can pull it.
Okay, that's awesome.
It's a little extra.
Yep.
That's bigger than the
estimate. I just didn't know how easy it was to move once it got put in place, you know. Yeah, but not far away, within the same property.
They're talking about potentially building a new building right adjacent to you, for example, where the other building is down the road. And if that didn't even happen, could they move the fiber if they lay conduit, have the fiber go right into the single building?
A
close by, yeah.
No, very close.
Yeah.
Okay, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's best when we're doing stuff as planned as far ahead as you think you're going to do it. You think you're going to do it. Leave a little extra slack. That's why it's just makes it so much easier. And what will happen to the other building that you're currently using now?
This is my vision. So I would imagine that they will become storage areas where we can get our people out of a 25 by 25 concrete brick building that's older than all five of us put together. Put them in a real office. And put them in a real building.
Yeah. So you may ultimately want to keep service in that older building.
Yeah, they're going to stay there. Yeah. They're going to stay there. Russell?
I got three.
Okay.
So, something like that, can we install a ladder that was parallel to the building and extend a little ways beyond it and just have a key coming out temporarily? You build up with the provision for a stub later on down the line so you don't have to go on the
Just stub it later. Yeah, right. That's a good call, Russ.
Just like any other.
Yeah.
You could probably build with that. If you house your equipment in that original building, you could almost leave it there and just build a ladder off of that.
Yeah. I got you.
Come around that building
without taking all that hardware out of that.
Okay.
You can actually have that extension on that fiber hooked up, just though it's just not going anywhere.
Need some termination equipment. So, you've got to have some space for a little bit of equipment, but it's relatively simple.
Fairly cheap, I think.
It's pretty versatile. The built-ins and the built-in slack.
Yeah,
it's pretty versatile.
All right. Yeah, it's not like you're building it a mile down the road, 2 miles down the road. Yeah. It's going to be really close to that building. As Brian said, it would be a little bit of cost.
Okay. That was great. There was a mention of a two-week start. Think we get to go?
It depends on what your time frame is. I know we can drag her.
No, I just the question is, when you start, how long will it take to go through the process?
Brian, the question is, from when you start, how long will the entire process take?
Wow.
So 7 days.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, so it'll be quick.
All right, I have another question. It's kind of. Yeah, just the general idea is fine. I just kind of wanted to know. Part of the discussion over the last couple of years, there has been some discussion about having fiber optic going to the other two district buildings like the library and the fire station. Mm-hmm. We're not talking about this right here. We're talking about taking care of our stuff. But if the district would like that to happen at some time, and they will fund it and all that stuff, would it be possible to use, to come off what we have to do that or not? Oh, you are? Okay.
Yeah.
Then.
Especially one if we can get to the down the road, they want to extend to the fire department and the library. We're already in the library. So the question is, would we do the fire department if they had money down the road to do it?
And if they want to do it.
We're going to build up the storage tank, the other one, the one that you have, which is right down the road from the fire department.
Yep.
I would assume that you could jump off of that stuff, log onto the pole line.
We just like an answer. People are going to ask the question and want to know if it can be done when they ask it. That's all.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Sure. Nothing's free. Yeah.
Or you could. And the library is even closer.
Right.
You can jump up.
I would prefer if you want the library.
Yeah. Because it's right.
Fire station myself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Very good.
Three doors.
Yeah.
Three.
I didn't realize it was in the library already.
Yeah.
All right. Great. Russ, did you have a?
I got a few things here. Looking through this, coming up on the 25-year warranty.
Brian, the warranty on the fiber is 25 years. Is that correct?
Yeah.
fiber, but what's the real useful life of that fiber?
So, question being, if one day we show up to work, we turn everything on and nothing on the screen.
Yep.
Is it, you know, as far as troubleshooting things like operations and maintenance? How do you go about diagnosing what the problem is? If it's whether or not it's with the computers, if it's with someone in the line, someone who's putting in the service overnight, which is on with it, and telling anybody to rip the fiber in half? Do you just have to go down a troubleshooting list, or what's the approach to that? Does OpenCape have some type of a O&M?
So, I can answer part of this on Brian's question. So, as we install more and more folks on from communities to mobility devices on that troubleshooting, but then at a certain level, as part of the drawing, if it's a potential fiber issue, which is a foot issue, or whatever, you might have multiple contractors come out, see if it is a warranty issue, the fiber failure, the splice failure.
Because eventually, if we have.
Outside noise, trying to address that. Kind of religious.
Tough neighborhood.
It's a take charge company.
Because the other issue is that if you have a skater tied onto this and something happens and then they lose the ability to control the pumps and see the tank levels. I think with the radios in place, we can use that as a redundant backup system.
So, yeah, mm-hmm.
In the meantime, so that's, and we can help with that, put that plan together,
right.
And software for that. So I just, 25 years seems like a good deal. You don't normally see that with too much infrastructure. My question. Going through, if I did my numbers right, it looks like there's about 14,000 linear feet of conduit or fiber installed. 7 to 9 days, that's upwards of 2,000 feet installed a day.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a typical production rate.
Yeah. They're going to jump on with Brian up to Dan from Barnstable, and they're going to do some of their licensing. You know, whenever you start getting them whole.
Oh, I see.
So
he was receptive. That's good.
Their licensing makes it more cost effective.
He wasn't receptive before.
You know, if it was me, OPK, asking him, but I didn't say no, because but for another kind of municipality,
This is a project price is valid for 30 days. We included this project under the USDA application, and we have to get their approval, which is going to be longer than 30 days. As part of that USDA process, they require a certain contract language to be in all agreements, which is mostly administrative type things, but they do require, for example, project sign, you know, certain size, so on and so forth. So if you have that language, we can forward it to you for review.
Yeah.
Could we bump this up to 90 days? Does it safeguard us?
All right.
Okay, very good. Price does not include any police details. Now, 7 to 9 days, if we had details each day, that wouldn't be a tremendous price, but especially for the Route 28 portion, if we could get a because that's going to be state police or someone, you know, that has a higher cost to it. So we are going to have to include some contingency element in that police detail in there. As far as the price, does that include any taxes, shipping costs? Do you normally see those costs from other projects? Are there any, I don't see any contingency here. So what are they thinking? Are there any hidden costs that come say, oh, well, we're paying for this permit fee or this license fee or to get on so-and-so's pole, they're going to charge us this much, and after you sign the contract, we're kind of obligated to do it. Is there any occurrence like that that you've seen in past projects?
And most of the stuff is going to be on
private property. Yeah, they're going to be in the well field.
You may only need police details for 2 days or 2.5 days.
That mask is yesterday.
Going back again to item number 3, and I think maybe I missed this, but it does not include any pole or conduit licensing fees. And the customer has existing rights agreements for aerial conduit locations. Has this been confirmed? Do you know if there's going to be fees for that item?
Did you hear the question, Ryan? Already has those poles. They're jumping on their
Do we have that in writing? Or can we get that in writing?
Yeah, we can get that in writing. Right, right, right. That's one way to manage that cost. I mean, again, there's not that much aerials, so you're not. So there are many places. But technically, that pole, I think that pole over by where you're pulling down the cell tower,
right.
One pole right there. In a perfect world, probably you should license that. But is Verizon or NSTAR ever really care if that pole that goes nowhere
right.
that you're on that? I mean, that's really good care for them, they're not.
We have your budget, but you know, and I budget for this from the engineering side of things all the time. Is yeah, we have our fees, but then we have to sit down with police, let them know what we're doing, where it's in detail, how many officers, give the town a budget for what that is. If there's secondary testing, how many tests do you have to do? How much the capacity test costs? You know, that's done by a third party, but that's all coming out of the same pool. So we have to know if this is 141,608. That's great. We come back, but if we have these other miscellaneous fees, so I don't know if you can take a closer look and produce a total project budget. You know, you have to put a contingency, you have to put these other numbers, because it's a great cost, and we appreciate the work, but, you know, if we start getting hit with these unknowns, permits, license, all these other things that we didn't have any plan of, that could present a burden.
Did you hear that, Mark?
Yeah, that's
just part of it.
I think that number would be helpful, just because we have, after this incident, we have the other cameras and the television and all these, you know, SCADA, you have to look at swapping out certain other components. And this is all coming from the same overall pool. That's what, you know, it's all. So there's, with this being, you know, to call it 142, there's $38,000 remaining that we have to try to put in on the SCADA work and everything else. So we have to know exactly how much to achieve that work we're dealing with. So I'm not trying to make your life more difficult, but it's going to work out better for all of us in the long run.
Okay, I appreciate it.
Speaking out of line, but the money's been appropriated through this, so it's looking better and better. But the USDA is going to have some interaction for the better if we do end up getting that. So things will only get better before that.
And I know Brian made it up to me, and I think we'll adjust that. I wasn't sure who it should be. Is it the Water Commission, or is there an individual? Or, you know, who should we?
I think it probably would be addressed to me and made out to the Kituit Fire District Water Department.
So again, I guess my three major comments were for 30 to 90 days.
Yep.
That's so, you get that in writing from the town that was there, and then total body budget.
Okay.
Yeah.
First,
do
you have a question?
Yeah, I just have one. You had mentioned about a map.
Yes.
Where did you?
I have that KMZ file on 17 on Google Earth. It shows.
Well, I've got the big map we looked at last time. We can look at that again.
Yeah, I didn't see that.
Oh, sorry.
I'm just kind of... If cable goes by, the splice into that cable for future building, is there a lot involved in that?
I'll let Gary. This is the big map of the wells and kind of where our fiber route is. I'll let Gary talk about splicing and how it's a little bit different than the Comcast coax truck coming up.
Okay, my interest is just here. I mean, you guys have kind of talked about over here.
Right.
Here you've talked about connecting here to here to here. Then I believe you said coming through the woods here.
No, he was liking, where's the old tower right here? This tower's coming
up. This
is the one that's coming down now. This is the one that's coming down with you.
What Frank was looking at, you can actually, when you're on the high line,
yep.
You can actually look through the woods and see
yeah,
that.
Yeah, that's the high line.
Yep.
Yep, okay, the high line.
You see this original
yep.
main location? Frank was looking at coming in to where this tank is now and using those poles. We were just talking about those two poles,
yep.
right? Coming off of those poles, building in off of the backbone right here. This is the backbone, making the splice out here. Coming into these two poles and then hitting this underground over to here and then underground over to there and underground over to there. So we're looking to avoid the ROW, the right-of-way. Completely.
Yeah, okay. The ROW completely. Right now runs between these two stations, like
yep.
right here. It comes through and runs through.
Yep, it does. Yep.
So you're talking about crossing where the road that goes down to here, it comes up like this, it kind of cuts in
yep.
right here.
And he was looking at plowing down the edge of this road to get to this location
okay.
right here.
So,
the whole thing is
you are talking, though, about staying up here on the road, coming out to here. The reason why I'm asking is because in the future there's a possibility of having to put in some kind of a treatment plant.
Mm-hmm.
And if that's the case, they'd want to run these all into one plant instead of building three buildings, pipe all into one plant. And by rights, it would be over here someplace, and we'd want to run it through the SCADA system, and it would want to hook up into one of these. So it's not if it's going by.
More than likely, they would incorporate a hand hole around here someplace.
Yeah.
Where you could build out to that hand hole and there access that fiber backbone.
Yeah. Okay.
Or your fiber backbone and build off of it.
Okay, so I mean, what I'm saying is, though, I'm not sure where that building would be.
Well, this would be nice information to have, so that we could, if we knew whereabouts, you know, we could throw a box in there, and leave a hand coil,
right.
You know, so we could gain mm-hmm. access to it later on.
Right.
Because this is a great network. This is a very versatile network that you have, and the more access that you can have to it, the more valuable it becomes.
Right. All right. Kind of answered my question. I just wanted to be able to see where it was going by because the opportune spot would be like just beyond this stuff here. So maybe when it gets to that section there,
we might
want to put some kind of box.
He looked at digging out and going right down the edge of the road right now
okay.
to get to this location.
Yeah. I think that would be more optimal.
Brian, will we do a detailed drawing that we can share with these guys, or how does that work? I just don't know how you do that. And then the reason that's important, guys, is you can have that out in your offices. So you know always where that fiber is.
Okay.
Like that's what Gary's just doing it over at the,
right.
the Barcelona County Complex for us because they're always doing stuff over there.
Yeah.
And you know, God knows where stuff is over there. So,
how deep is that stuff, Gary?
We
bury that at 24 feet. Yeah. He would probably use a rifle or a plow.
Oh, okay. Like a ditch witch, basically?
Okay, exactly.
Okay.
Well, without the ditch witch.
Yeah.
And what's the tape they put over it?
They'll put a traceable mule tape in there also. Mm-hmm. So you can go
yep.
You'll
yep.
see it. Yeah.
Yeah, if you're digging, you'll see that.
And yeah, they also have the marker tape.
They put markers out saying buried line? Is there a stake that's put in also, or is that something think about down the line? Careful of burying here, you know.
You can do it.
Okay.
Sure way. You can do whatever you want.
Yeah.
Is there any problem going down the ancient way with that cable?
Through to the tank?
Yeah.
The only thing that's I would say would be a problem is the water main gets pretty shallow in a couple of them holes.
Yeah. No,
what's pretty shallow?
Huh?
What's pretty shallow?
4 feet.
3 feet, 4 feet?
No.
Could be 3 to 4 feet, yeah. Yeah, and if it is, it's cast iron. You'll feel it.
We can mark it up.
Yeah.
You're bumping.
Yeah, there's no problem. We can mark it up. Yeah. It
makes a lot of noise when that is up against it.
Okay. That's enough from there. Dig Safe's not hard for us. Okay. Just let us know. Don't call Dig Safe.
Okay. Any other questions?
I'm good.
No, it's good.
All right,
I'm
good. Guys, any and all questions are welcome. You know, take those documents home. Look at them, think about them, what's in front of you. Any other questions? Brian would have only been here, and he had a traveling issue, so he's trying to get to a plane right now, I think. So, that's a good fix.
Is this something you guys want to look at and make a decision at the next meeting? Talk about tonight a little bit? And
yes.
Then we'll go from there, so we'd probably put it off at least to the next meeting. Is that
we have a little pause anyway.
No, it's kind of like me, Chris.
Yeah.
I'm going to answer
okay.
Right now.
Okay.
Is it first, please?
The original licensing agreement that had the corrections on it, do you have that, Steve?
Okay. And so what I need to do, I submitted it to our attorneys to update that.
Good.
She's on vacation in the holidays. I just have to have so
you could send it back over to me as quickly as possible, then I'll sit down and
you'll probably have it by the end of the week.
Head the tails of this, and we'll be good to go.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
Any other questions?
No. We're good. I did not ask Jen. Do you know if a check was sent to me, too?
No, I have the check being processed for the outstanding bill.
Yeah.
$1,000.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. Brian, we're all set here.
Thanks,
Brian.
All right. Take care. I'll talk to you tomorrow or whatever. Bye-bye. Okay.
Thank you,
Steve. Thank you, Gary.
Yeah.
Keep good. I don't see a crack.
I've got more copies of these if you guys want to go. Couple extras for the file.
Yeah,
I'll just
leave them all with you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thanks.
No problem. Appreciate it. Again, any questions? I gave him a card last time. Give me a holler. We'll get them all answered for you.
You did good, Steve.
All right. Hope I get to come back again.
Sure.
Yeah.
Got a couple other things going that are very good too. It's all positive, so. It's just up to those guys.
Yeah, it is. They have the option of coming.
We don't get
right
in their way. No.
To the fire department, to the town of Barnstable.
Yep.
That goes so far, and it's almost to the fire department now, isn't it? Yeah. It's not in there. I think it's at the pole right now. They have the option of hooking up to it 2 years ago, I believe.
That's the way they should do it.
Yeah.
Okay. That's the most part.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's at the pole.
Yeah.
They're still connected to
it. It's someplace right. Real close to them, and they just haven't made that extra step to get it in a little further, I believe.
Thank
you, guys.
I'll be retired by then.
Thank you.
Good job, boy.
Oh, yeah, that was good.
Yeah,
thank
excellent.
You. Yeah, very good.
Let's do the rest of the list, my friend.
Okay. Tank update. Demo's been delayed a little bit. The high winds have delayed them about a week or so. So they've mobilized some gear. They're hoping to get up there hopefully next week. They don't forecast a delay in the April 1st deadline to start building the tank itself. So it's an impact on the overall schedule. at the meeting, break them into the school, you know, reaching out to them almost on a daily basis when there's an instruction going on, making sure that the kids are safe over there. So they're happy with everything. It should be a lot of action, and by the next meeting, USDA application, we did submit the application, about 350 pages of light reading, but it's all there. There's a couple real minor last follow-up things that we have to send them, but nothing. They've asked to send it along, and they'll start the review. So we'll follow up on the last few things that we need, and again, that was for three projects, the tank, the number 2.1 million for the tank, 180,000 for the security, and I believe it was 6.35
for the parcel land, all which are
eligible for yeah. The land
around Lowell Park.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
They don't give us an exact number on the land. It varies from year to year. But it's a rolling application, and it's kind of first come, first serve. They have X amount of dollars, it's when the application is coming first. So we just got it in about 2 weeks after they reopened this year. So we should hopefully be in good standing.
Mm-hmm. Just so you know, too, I did. When I was talking to Mike today, he said that Monday night the provincial committee's meeting, and that he has to have Charlie do some paperwork, or they have to make a vote to make Mark the district's lawyer. Apparently, because they can't find where it was, or Charlie's never given him any paperwork so that he can send it. They'll have that after Monday. That's the plan.
What time is that meeting on Monday night, Chris? Prudential looks like 5 o'clock. What is Prudential? 5 o'clock?
Usually.
That's fine, because I'll look it up. No one knows what.
Okay.
Knows
what. Yeah.
Talked to my former colleagues over at Cleanfield about the solar project. They submitted it on the 4th from the Department of Energy, and the rule is they don't get comments back within 2 weeks, so it's good to go. So we're going to have a few more days, and then but in February, I'm going to review it one time and double check some of the language and the dates, but we'll look to get that out to bid. That right, that's the register in February.
Let's get some solar.
And then start seeing if that what sort of response we get. That should be very interesting to see. And then the cell phone towers, I have been in touch with a gentleman, Dick Duddy from Sprint, who's expressed some interest in possibly looking at going over to the West Street tank or possibly another location. I advise that the district right now is currently considering, a new cell phone tower, and we'll take that into consideration and see what the proposal is. But he was very adamant on wanting to maintain service. He didn't speak of a temporary means to provide service. So I didn't really confirm anything. I just listened and said, you know, he welcomed it. I thought he actually said he was going to try to make it happen. He did.
What he was talking about was a truck in place or another antenna in place, is that?
Yeah, the POW, is that what they call it?
Portable,
yeah.
A portable one?
I don't know a lot about it, so.
Yeah, that's within their rights, and our agreement is for them to do that. So they certainly can. It'd be helpful.
Did you say he was thinking of West Street?
He asked about it. They sent me an email that said where it was in relation to Main Street and Southwest and so on and so forth, and that's up to you guys to figure out whether or not that'll work for your signals.
Yeah. I said that we do have provisions on that tank, so you guys, we have provisions on that tank for cell equipment.
On both tanks.
Yeah, on both tanks.
Mm-hmm.
The only problem is that there was some kind of limitations about putting something on the tank that's going to bring in money with the loan, either the loan or the bonding. I can't remember what it was. It was something that Mike had said. And he wants, with the application, he said there wasn't going to be any antennas included with this and everything. So it might be something just to mention to him also to find out, if this guy wants to go there, is it possible? Is it going to affect the loan or the bonding?
If it were the case, I just mentioned that, this tank's not going to have any antennas, and if they take temporary measures to keep the service, that's your responsibility. That's the carrier's responsibility. That's not your responsibility. So if you want to keep that tank clean and clear and
ultimately there would be the American Tower or not. So if that is the case, then it's on that site. You know, they're not going to want to get a camp at this point. I mean, it's pressing me. I think number one concern is to keep the service reliable for carriers.
I think we're pretty serious about moving forward with some type of cell tower itself. That's the way to go. Keep everything off the tanks and get the cell tower out there and get it out of his hair. You have to deal with in and out of those places and open the gate.
It's a matter at this point of who's going to build the cell tower.
Yeah. Exactly.
I've been looking at a couple RFPs that Tom had that they just put out. I talked to Dave Akowski down in Dennis today.
Oh, good point.
And Dave put out his own for putting them on his water towers. He didn't do it for a regular tower.
Right.
Craig over in Calm has kind of cut and paste to make it into, I think, for cell towers. So it doesn't look like it's going to be that hard to put out something like that to rent a piece of land. I think it's more like we don't want to really rent a piece of land. We want someone to build an antenna that is going to maintain, like a private company that's going to sell these or take the existing leases over. It's a different situation than most people have.
Yeah.
So it's something that we're going to have to get some different language on, I guess I could say.
There's no other municipalities that's in the same boat as we are?
I know other municipalities that have been approached about putting cell towers up now on their land, and then there's other ones that have, just like us, got approached about putting them on water towers. I don't know of anybody who's taken down a water tower and building a cell tower at this point.
Yeah.
You know, and that's where it's tricky to find something in the same boat.
Yeah.
I would approach it as just a land lease, because if you think about it, you know, as a virgin land lease requires a government to come and put it down on source bids from carriers. Under this situation, you know for a fact there's three carriers that don't have choices. They have to get on this ballot.
Yeah.
So that's a 3 out of 5 out of the mix. So
right.
If we have one that's closer to a land lease, that would be the one I think we should model.
The only reason I ask is because it seems to be this is to a cell company coming in and building the tower. It seemed to be as it was.
We say cell company, like Sprint or Verizon.
Yeah.
No, it's a separate entity
that
owns and operates, like industrial communication, for example, on Route 3. Kind of a lot like a big building out there.
Right.
They used to do a lot of permitting for the tower way back.
Is that Electric City or something like that?
There's a few of them that online.
That's one of the guys they told me in Yarmouth to talk to next to the old Christmas tree shop or the old Coliseum.
May very well be. It's almost the same concept as a solar field. You're just getting a lease for people and you're doing it for someone else to generate revenue off.
Right. Yeah. A good lease.
Yeah.
Okay.
Questions?
Good.
Thanks, Russ.
You ready, Russ?
Thank you very much.
Take care of the free radicals tonight.
Thank you, Russ.
Thanks, Russ.
I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Yes,
sir. Yep. Unless you're fishing tomorrow and not coming. Oh, okay.
All right.
That was good. Can you remember all that? We're going to have a quiz on that.
Tonight?
Tomorrow.
Oh, tomorrow. Okay.
End of the week.
I'll topic. Let you sleep first and then quiz you.
I'm going to put this under my pillow.
Are we getting out of the cell tower business because of what we have to do to get the grant with the new tower? Are we getting out of that business?
Amy, I don't think so. We are trying to get some resolution to moving that over there. We don't.
No, we're not trying to lose cell business.
No, we don't. We're not going
to. We're trying to find an adequate place for them to go. They don't want to leave the location that they're at now, because if they leave that location, they got to change 8 different locations that are pointing this way.
There's a better way to make, you know, some money with our property and those cell towers rather than putting them on our tank.
Okay.
And we're trying to find that better way.
Exactly.
Yeah. And we don't really want to give that up. That's not it at all.
Yeah.
But I will say this, that for all that Chris has to go through when things are discombobulated with these guys, it's kind of a mess, and he needs out of it. He needs to take care of the water department, not take care of the cell towers.
Yeah.
Most of these were water superintendent.
Right. Most of these were done before we had our... We had something written up that said this is our standards of how you have to do it.
Right.
Most of these were all put up before we had those standards.
Yeah.
If you see some of the pictures that are up there, it's a walking hazard on some of the stuff up there. There's cables that are this big going across at an angle, just ready. You can hook it with your ankle and fall right over the side.
Yeah.
You know, and trip. Or something, you know, it's ridiculous how things have been put up there.
Yeah.
And they wear at the tank after a while, and then you got people climbing on there that you don't know, and people showing up in the middle of the night saying they want to change circuit boards. It's just a hassle like you wouldn't believe.
Yeah.
And yes, we're making money, and it's great for the district, but is it a hassle for us?
We're making an effort to secure these things, not to keep them open. We're trying to figure out how to make sure nothing happens with these bad boys, and the best way to do it is to keep everything off of it.
Yeah.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
Okay,
they said it's better for the tank if they don't have the stuff up there.
Okay.
Yeah. We're trying. We just don't work. You know, we're just like anybody else in town. We don't want to give up that revenue if we can help it. So let's say we can get 3/4 of that revenue back by giving an access to a small piece of our property, probably not even a half an acre, to put up a cell tower, and they lease that from us.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We're in.
We don't.
There'll be no money spent at all by us to do it.
Yeah. Okay. Great. Thanks.
Somebody else will do the whole thing, and then we just
collect the money.
Collect the check.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right. All right, Chris, would you like me to give you my report?
Yes, sir.
All right. All right. My report for December of 2015. We pumped in December of 2014 $7,958,000. We pumped in December of 2015 8,301, for a difference of 343,000 more than last year, than the year before. We got quite a few new more houses. You know, the weather, it's tough. It's not a lot of water, put it that way. It is, but it isn't in the comparison to last year. Was a pretty nice December, but this year would seem to be even better.
8.3.
8.3.
What do we have, 60 degree weather almost?
Oh,
ridiculous.
Yeah.
So I'm just thinking there was a lot more of that going on. It's not alarming to me at all, put it that way. We had one new service go in over on Bayside. We had a new replacement service over on Bay Road. We got eliminated a pit, which was, Mrs. Ingram, who had 2 different abatements in the last 2 years because of leaks. We convinced her to run the whole thing and come into the house at a different angle and get rid of the pit altogether and put the meter in the house. So that's gone. Hopefully there's no more headaches there.
Yeah.
They paid all the bills that we gave them on it and everything, and everything went pretty well. Let's see. I don't know if you guys saw it on your way in, my shiny new vehicle out there.
Oh, I'm sorry, I hit it.
Bumped into it.
Wow.
Tree fell on it, yeah.
Well, I did. I got my new vehicles here. It still isn't lettered. The woman that did the lettering before on our vehicles, I don't know if they're out of business. I've called her twice. She has not returned the phone call either time. There's a place over right across from Bortolotti's shop The guy has a sign company. I don't know if I can bring one of the other trucks down there, have him take a picture and do it up. But it seems like that might be the way to go.
What, back behind the pizza place?
Right beside Domino's, yeah.
Yeah,
he's
okay.
There where it used to be the Huntingness Group.
Yeah,
he has
yeah.
that place now.
Yeah.
He's been open for about 2-3 years over there.
Yeah.
There's a couple people, I guess, in Katuit that do it too, but I'm not sure if where they are or where they're doing it out of.
There's a guy behind the dump.
Yeah, there's somebody over there, in the condos in there that does them too.
Yeah.
I'll look around, see what I can do, try to get something done. It's just been between everything, getting rid of it for a day or two gets difficult. For you, there is a end of the year report that is due by next meeting. And Jen said she could, I think she sent you some stuff on it.
Yeah, I've written one. I've had one before that I wrote too.
Yeah. So if you need any of the points, she'll give you all the points you need. I think she sent you some stuff on it.
Yeah.
I told her you'd talk to her about
it. To you.
Okay. And we also are going to have a 2017, is that what it's going to be? We're going to be in fiscal 2017 budget due. So we'd like to give you a temp something on it. She just wanted to know if there was anything you guys were thinking of putting into the budget that would be any different than normal right now.
What's the timeline on that, Chris?
What's that?
What's the timeline on that?
We have to have to the Prudential Committee, is it the April meeting or?
You start giving stuff in March, but it
yeah.
has to be finalized in April.
Right.
Okay.
So it's just if you guys are thinking of something down the line, it'd be good to bring it up to us by then so we can have it. I'll try to have a 5-year plan ready, but I have to approach something to you guys this evening.
Okay.
So before you get thinking too much, hear me out first.
Okay.
This is, once we get a date tonight too, we were talking about the forestry.
Mm-hmm.
I want to be able to call it a solid date and see if I can get them down. If it doesn't look like next month, we'll be real, real busy. So if I can get him down here at the next meeting to get him started, he can't do anything now anyways,
yeah.
but at least he can introduce himself, talk to us about the program and everything. I didn't get a chance to talk to him this month, but if I write it down on this piece of paper that we know we're going to have this date and I can ask him to come, I'll make a note on it to call him and see if he'll be here within the next week. We had a sanitary survey done from DEP. They came in and did a sanitary survey. Everything's looking good, clean. Stations are all passing and everything else. While he was there, he asked me for my chlorine addition permit. And I said, well, I don't have a permit because we're considered a small system. And I was told that we don't have to have a permit. Mrs. Terry Martin told us that. So he said, this guy's name is Cortland Ridings. And he said, well, I've only been doing it so long, so I'll look into that. You know, you see if you can give me a good hard figure on the census, and we'll go from there. Well, I got figures that said we were below 3,300, sent them to him. He went to see Jim McLaughlin, who is the guy that just reduced our monitoring, and he said to me, you're considered permanent at this point. You're not temporary anymore. It doesn't matter what size you are, it's all on the fees, and you're exempt from the fees, so it doesn't matter at all. You guys have to start and apply for a chlorine addition safety permit with the safety features done that are required by the state.
What if we stop?
So we wouldn't have to.
Okay. But the safety features that we're going to get to next, right?
Safety features.
Yeah.
To do the report and put in the, do the licensing and to be in the safety features and within the law, compounds of the law,
compliant
to everything, we're talking 35 to 40,000 per station.
Per station.
Yes.
Did he give you chapter and verse
where those regulations are?
No.
He's
sending me a letter
right.
with all this.
Okay.
Yeah, he should have, according to Mass General Law, so-and-so.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
The reason why I know it's 35 to 40 per station is because for the last few months I've been working to try to get Station 1 up to where it should be. We've talked about raising the pump off the ground like it should be. By law. It's kind of grandfathered in. It's an old station. To do that, at the same time, we should put in these safety features, which means containment, any kind of interlocks, and anything that's left on, different sensors, changing into the security system. It's all stuff to bring everything up. The price I got, and I will hand you this out because it's just as shocking just about, from Tater and Howard to do that and at the same time clean the lime tanks out, which has never really been done, and get an idea of what it costs to do that at all stations.
This is a one-time thing besides the cleaning, a one-time expense?
This would be, besides the cleaning and maybe replacing the well or anything like that, this is a one-time fee to do all the modifications to bring it up, cleaning the tanks out, also changing out from what we call a PACO system right now, possibly to a variable frequency drive, so we can lower it or raise it without messing with the pump itself and taking the efficiency away from the pump.
Do a PACO valve in every one?
No, we have one VFD in Station 5. The way we run our pumps, usually we're a start-stop to capacity. We don't usually run at a lower rate, but Station 1 we have been because last year we got awful close down to the bottom of the well, to the screen. We were within a foot and a half to 2 feet of it. So what we ended up doing, because it has a very slow recovery time, we actually raised the bowls so that it would pump less water, and it pumped 400 instead of 500 out, and it kept it there so it wasn't sucking down anymore and drawing so much out of the well that it was just going to go down, and we didn't want any kind of cavitation or anything like that.
Just leave the part. Do you just leave the PACO valves in the line?
No, they would remove the PACO line here and move over the flow meter and put in the proper attachments to it and everything else. And that's included in here.
Stuck. Pipe from spot to spot.
Yeah. So it's updating the station. The only thing that's really, and I'll get harder figures on this because I had questions after I got this. I talked to Patrick. The electric panel that's down there is original.
In 65?
Yeah. And I think we ought to have, and he suggested afterwards, I said, you know, I don't know if that has to be changed. He goes, well, I would suggest having an electrical engineer coming in there and seeing exactly what has to be changed and what doesn't, especially to run the new equipment and everything. So he says, whether it's our dime, his dime, what it takes. And I said, well, I prefer your dime. He said, well, we'll have to see. But I would prefer to have someone come down and put this off a little bit, but let you know that I'm thinking it should be done sooner than later, because if we're going to have to do the other stuff, you might as well do everything at once.
All right, so let me just try to. It could be $35,000 to $40,000 to bring the safety stuff into each station.
Mm-hmm.
But this one, because of its age, is going to be this price, and the others will be that $35,000 to $40,000.
Right.
So when that's added in, it's going to be much more than this.
Right. This is just Station 1 only. And the problem was that this came up after I got this. I got the order from Steve McLaughlin that this is what's going to happen. So I actually had Patrick come down and look at the stations at the same time. I called him up and said, listen, this is coming. Can you come down and tell me what it's going to cost per station to do something, to bring it up? And he goes, well, when he looked at this, he said, I got most of the figures right here of bringing it up. The thing is also that's on here, I have
$60,000 in the budget to do well treatment and pump replacement.
Yeah.
That can be used to, if I could have them break it out, to replace, put a new pump in, mm-hmm. put a new motor on, and to clean the well if I have to.
Yeah.
I could have it go out as a separate bid, or he could have it go out as a separate bid and pay that out of $60,000. To do it, last time I had something cleaned, it was about $14,000. A new pump is about new motor's about four. Pump was, I think, six or seven. So I'm positive with that $60,000 there, I can get it done.
Yeah.
And that would cut this down. And I can have them re-scope this at that point and see what we need.
Now, in another abstract question here, if the stuff that we're applying to benefit from all the money that we've spent, is that money to be spent on something?
I haven't asked Russ that question. I just got this all today, basically.
Yeah.
I have not asked him about that.
So I knew there was some, you had to be doing it in something like some construction.
Yeah, you have to pay back the original loan first, then you might get grant money, and the grant money has to be spent. It might be how you write it, and improvements.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if and improvements would cover upgrading.
And then there's
a or if it has to do with the same job. Yeah. You know, we could say like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I'd have to ask. I wouldn't want to make an assumption. Yeah.
There is going to be money left if we do get the grant. There is going to be money left in the security.
That'll be paid off first.
Yeah.
We have to pay, and we can only spend what we've been voted on and what the allotment is that's been voted on.
Yeah, exactly.
Grant money after that can be spent as the add-ons or money that is into the improvement of the system related to that or related to.
Yeah.
So
I didn't think that money was in that.
The 180?
Yeah.
No, we included the 180.
I remember bringing that up in Russell.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I think the money to be spent is the $2,100 that was allocated for just the tanks.
The 2.1 mil. When we said we want to do this, Mike said, well, you might as well bundle a couple things into it, get the money up there a little bit, and we can get the great rate for at least three projects here. Well, he said two. And we said, well, if we're going to do that, we want to get it up to 2.5, we can slip this project in too. And it can be done because it's been voted on to spend $200,000.
Yeah.
So just bundle.
The money, the grant money is based on how much you borrow, a percentage of that.
But it depends.
Some of this money has never been borrowed. The security money has never been borrowed. Mike calls me every year and says, do you plan on doing anything with that security money? He says, because I can get to the money, I'll go out and inquire the money now. So we're not sitting here paying on that at all. We haven't even borrowed the money for it.
But you used some of it, right?
Yes. He went out, he took $20,000 from it or something like that. That's the only thing that he's borrowed.
So in the grant, he named that project? They named that project in the grant?
Yes.
As part of the grant?
Yes.
Money?
Yes. Yep. That's why there won't be a problem.
The money that needs to be spent is the $2.1 million.
That'll be spent, no problem with the tank.
Right.
Because the other thing is, those things that we took off, you know, getting a fence put around it. The stuff that we took off to get it underneath budget, that stuff can be put back on, and that can be spent also into the grant money.
Yeah.
As long as we spend the entire loan money, then we can dip into the grant money. And at that point, all you have to do is it's got to do with the tank. We can do it. It's got to do with the security system. It's a camera for the security system. It's an upgraded camera. It's not just the infrastructure. It's the camera. So
that's what I was kind of wondering, if that could possibly help us with this.
Maybe.
Yeah.
That's what I mean. It's still an improvement to the fire district.
Oh, yeah.
So I mean, if it's written to and improvements to the water system, it is an improvement. That's up to Russ to answer, I would say.
Okay.
We've been through this terminology. I feel like it's deja vu here. Huh? Everyone goes through this terminology.
Well, this is something I've wanted to do a lot.
Yeah. What was it that we went through that was this, why am I having this?
Right. No, it's different. You know, it's. I'm learning more and more about it every day. Yeah. So we could be talking 140 to 160 for the stations to be upgraded, yeah. And maybe 150 to 180 to have Station 1 done. But Station 1 being done also is bringing it up to code where it should be.
Yeah.
It's just
be responsible not to do it.
Right. And the way it is right now, it's on a plate that's this thick. You know, there's no, if water comes in and goes through, by rights, it could weasel its way in and go into, just drop back into the well. Mm-hmm. You know, bugs could go through there and everything. Yeah. It's not up off the ground. We don't have any kind of secure ring going around a seal. And I'm surprised I've never been told to raise it. Yeah. It's always been because it's grandfathered in, because it was allowed that time to do that.
So it's best for us to be proactive with this in front of it. Instead of having to react and be scrambling for money. And
right. So those are my things to bring up and to throw at you. Sorry about that.
Thanks.
So and that's something we could work on. I do have one 5-year plan here that capital improvement plan that we had written, and the only thing we had talked about doing was adding $30,000 for well replacement and treatment in 2017. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that could be right gone and out of there, no problem at all. I already have $60,000 for that right now. We had done that because we had talked about seeing if we could get a few of them done at once, and at this point, I do have some money in there, and I can wait a year if I have to get it done. Station 4 will have to be done again.
It will.
Yeah, it's choking up already. Okay. After you do it, it's kind of like, you know, anytime you open something up, it seems like it. We never did it. We never cleaned the wells. I clean them, then all of a sudden 5 years later, I'm noticing we should have to do it again. Yeah. When it was 15 years that I was here, we never did it.
When is DEP putting a time frame on us, Chris?
They mentioned 90 days when he was on the phone, and I was like, "What's involved with it?" To myself, because I didn't know so much was involved behind it. And when I said something to them, they're like, "Maybe you can do the application in 90 days to get to him, but the work that needs to be done to bring it up to code, no way could be done in 90 days because you don't have the money to do it out of your budget. You have to have time to acquire it. You have to do this. You have to do that. So you'll have to either get in touch with them and explain what's going on." And
I would assume if you're showing them a plan,
right,
that would be, they would go.
And the gentleman that I talked to,
if they want us to be permitted, they'd have to let us do something.
I told him about the report, and I said, "Well, let me give Pat a call." And he goes, "Pat who?" And I said, "Pat O'Neill from Tater and Howe." He goes, "Oh, thank God." And I said, "What do you mean?" He goes, "He's done plenty of them." He says, and it's good to have somebody send one in who's done them before. He said, "Because I got one today, the guy had never done them before, ever." He says, "And it's just so messed up."
Yeah.
He said, "It's unbelievable." He says, "If you got Pat doing it, he probably knows how to do it better than me."
Okay.
So. So anyways, let us know if you have anything for the budget, if you're thinking anything. You probably should think about, we don't usually, at the last thing is salaries at the end. Other than that, I hopefully we'll have some kind of electric credits by the end of the next year in the budget. I don't know, you know, hey. But we still have to think that we're going to pay. I do have a set rate right now.
Yeah.
So for the year, still with through the compact. So
yeah.
I believe that this is the last year of it.
Have they been in contact with you at all?
Green Seal? No. Not since the original went out. I did talk. I called Casey, whatever his name is, once and talked to him and
he said everything looked okay. The other thing that I had mentioned to Patrick about this, and he told me, just make sure if you guys put it out, you don't have the cellular within the 400-foot radius of Station 4 if you're going to have it over there.
Oh, yeah.
He says, but Steve, he won't let you put it there. So I didn't see the plan that we're talking close.
Yeah, they're close.
Yeah, so I'd like to take another peek at it just and say,
okay.
And everything, and talk to Andrew Casey.
Now, why is that 400 feet critical?
It's your zone of contribution, basically. Anything within the first 400 feet, you don't want
to
hit there because that's being sucked right down in.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's your zone, yeah.
So you got room to move towards?
You hit towards Station 1? No. Then you got the right-of-way.
Oh, is that parallel? That road is a right-of-way through there? That one sort of like a path?
That goes through, yeah, but those two, I don't know, the guys who just had it here, Steve, those two 400-foot radiuses almost touch.
Oh, really?
From that's Station 2 and 1.
Right.
The other way, I don't know how many acres we have between Station 4's 400-foot radius and Station 1's. You're cutting it close there. So, I mean, it's going to take either me out there with a tape or someone looking from Google Earth. I can mess with it a little bit with I have a Google Earth that you can touch and bring over with a ruler stuff like that.
Yeah.
And I don't know, we can't do anything, I don't believe, on the right of way.
That's the power lines right there?
Yep.
This is that road that goes down behind our neighborhood?
Yep.
This is the path that cuts straight across.
Yep, that we have a right of way through there.
Road.
Yep.
And what's that over there? That's us over there. How much of that is us?
I don't understand where you are.
Wait a minute. You're talking beyond?
That's Captain Carlton right there.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
And you're talking this as the one road that goes over?
Underneath the power lines, goes straight back. Cemetery's out there.
Where's Station 2?
Over
here. That's all us, yeah.
That's us?
Yeah. That's all us in there. It's all us on the whole side. Town of Barnstable doesn't start till the cemetery side. The cemetery comes down and runs through the woods all the way to Main Street Tank.
Plenty open there.
Yeah, there's a ton open right there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But there's a few deep holes in there also.
A lot of squirrels in there.
There's a couple.
Good squirrel area.
Yeah, sure.
I've seen them.
Enough to make a pie? Okay. I have nothing else on my report.
Thanks for bringing us the good news.
I wish I could say I was the bearer of good news all the time, but I can't be. Somebody has to break it to you easily.
We've been talking about number one since I've been here.
We're going to check next meeting? Yeah.
I
think the
third Thursday is the 18th.
Yeah, the 18th.
18th of February.
I'm good with that.
Okay.
Anything? Chukumako, you going fishing to Kakamucho or one of them places?
No, I'm going to California in March for a couple of weeks, and then going to go to Lake Fork, Texas, bass fishing in April.
Do I know somebody from Lake Fork?
Huh?
Have I met somebody from Lake Fork around that area?
I don't know. Lake Fork's lots of trees. The lake's like the size of Rhode Island and half of Connecticut.
Yeah. So as long as you're good on the 18th, do you know when you're going to California in March?
March.
Yeah, March
8th or 9th or something like that.
You'll be back by the 17th?
Thursday, and going probably to another Thursday in March.
So it's the 10th.
Yeah, it's going to be in there.
The 10th through...
The 12th is the day that I'm looking to be there, so it's these days.
You're right, 10. You're going to go through for 2 weeks?
I'll get back for that.
You will be back?
I'll come back for that.
I'm going to be away 17th. March 2 and 7. That might be tough for me, but...
Okay.
It is what it is.
We'll figure it out.
You really need 2 people.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to look ahead a little here. Think about it. We'll talk about it next month, March. But yeah, just make sure everybody has their dates down when they can, when they can't.
I would imagine that we want to get, Chris, before we sign out finally here, that we're going to want to get this license agreement back from Steve and over to Mark, right?
Yeah. Well, either Mark or originally this went to a different lawyer. This was actually from, I could call Rick up on it, Attorney Mann.
Oh, yeah.
He's a specialist on contracts like this. And
so
he went over it and did all the notes on it originally.
Yeah.
So I think Rick's always offered to help out in any way he can. I could call him to get the information on it.
Well, I wanted to just move right on.
I just want to make sure that he's got the latest and they've changed it. Because last time we gave him the latest, I got it back with all the markups still on it.
Yeah, still on it. This is the one right here. It's crashed out.
Yeah. No, it's all red marked up. And I was like, geez.
That's red. Our copy
And they didn't make any adjustments, and that was when Dan was there.
Okay.
One of the Dans.
Yeah.
All right. 18th, Thursday.
I don't know about you guys, but I mean, these guys seem to be making a hell of a lot better effort than Aaron's, and Russell's right there with them. So
I feel very comfortable.
Yeah.
It would take a lot for me not to want to go with this right now.
It's just.
Just to put it in the ground is unbelievable. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And even if that's the first step.
And I agree with Russell about having the radios for redundancy.
Oh yeah, you have to.
One quick question. Did we ever get back to the folks that petitioned us to put the C on the water tank? Should we do that? Just let them know we don't have the funds to do that?
We have not got back to them. Actually, we might have said we left them with, if money
is available
for it. And at this point, we still don't know if money's available to it, because if it's under improvements or the tank, it might be available for it.
I'm just thinking that, given that they've been able to raise all the money for the ball field, maybe they want to go out and raise that money.
Oh,
give them a heads up. And just a thought.
Well, yeah, I mean, I could ask them, too, how much would it be to cut something off, put the same thing up there, or whatever it is.
Inside, I'm like, put the C up there, excited to do that, but then the reality of what it's going to cost to put it up there is...
Yeah.
Well, that's what I mean. Maybe we can get
heart-wise, and my feelings would be, put it up there. Let's put a baseball up there.
Yeah.
Make it a baseball. Make it like a baseball.
But yeah.
They have done that.
If we say that, we haven't secured the funds to do that. They just might go out on their own and
raise
the money to do it.
Vic, that's a good point, Vic.
Yeah. Well, let me get a higher price on it, too.
Yeah, that's a good point, Vic.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah. Make a motion to adjourn.
Second.
All in favor.
All right.